Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man. Come on. 100 miles of running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustle ain't a game.
Sound off forms, and I'm your boy, G Bizzle,
T-Bev, I'm in the house. You know how we get down and we do it. I know y'all hadn't heard from me in a long time. And it's 8:07, and I'm broadcasting all the way from the West Coast, y'all. So I'm doing a little bit early on the West Coast. So, whatever. For those who are up with me, I'd like to thank y'all for being up with me. I tried to do it where all the kids could participate. But we'll find out if they'll participate or not. But, you know, man. So this week, we're going to be doing football stuff, y'all. Okay? So, what I planned to do was, you know, tonight's work, football training, and then through the week, we'll go offense, defense, special teams, and then we'll tie it all together. So all the stuff that we're doing right now is some great stuff coming up. If you have any questions, please feel free to call in. Please feel free to email me. You can email me at gbev. You can email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Facebook, you know. So, let's get started. Okay, so this is how we work it, all right? I'm going to go over some tips right now, okay? So if you're a young player and this is from you know, little league all the way up to college. I mean, at this point, if you've already made the college, you're going to be getting some quality coaching. But, you know, so whatever you want to take from this is whatever you want to take from it, because some people always learn something else. And when I'm talking, I want you to envision who you are as a football player and how you see yourself. And then I want you to go and I want you to think about your teammates and how your teammates view you. And then finally, I want you to view how your coaches, all your coaches, view you. Okay. So, first of all, we know, and this goes from, like I said, it goes from elementary or all the way up to high school and even college. You have to be a student athlete. That, I mean, it's so fightable, debatable, and all that stuff. But you have to be a student athlete first. You have to be a student, then you have to be an athlete. And so that's why I say student athletes always first, okay? Make sure that your grades are in order, all right? Because you can't be an athlete if your grade's not in order. So let me also say this. Number one thing out of the box, you got to have a good attitude, period. You got to have a good attitude. It all reflects on you, okay, as an athlete. It all reflects on you. Okay, so, like, I'm going to ask you some questions. And then I want you from a scale from 1 to 10, one being the worst, 10 being the greatest. I want you to mark it and see where you score, okay? The first one is, I'm speaking as a coach. Do I trust the player? Do I trust them? The second one is their behavior. Is their behavior good? Is their behavior poor? Or is it 10, which is excellent? Three, their commitment to excellence. One being they could care less, they got a well, whatever attitude, or 10 would be off the charts where they put in extra work. Number 4, cares about the teammate, okay? Not just one being very selfish, it's all about making it to the next level. 10 being complete team player, complete, class act. And we'll go to number 5, which is win, wants to win. 1 being like, I don't care. And 10 being, hey, listen, I got to win at all costs. 6, learns assignment. Listen, 1 being, hey, I don't know the plays, coach. Don't put no effort in it. 10 being, not only do you help, do know your plays, but you know everything on offense, our defense, our your skill position. You help others. Number 7, attitude about football. Does he show up like he wants to be there? 1 is number 1. 10, first one in the locker room. Loves the game. First one taped. Number 8. Is this player coachable? 1 being, listen, there's nothing I can really do for this player because he doesn't want to get it. 10 being, listens and he tries very hard. Number 9 represents the team on or off the field. How is your character? Is your character, 1, you embarrass the team, do things that you shouldn't do? Number 10 would be, I mean, listen, he's a class act kid. Number 10, football ability. Does he lack the basics or does number one, does he lack the basics or 10, he's a playmaker? I mean, he is just a 5A stud. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because those are the kind of questions that we have to ask ourselves as players. And and I think it's a very challenging role, okay, to be a football player. And not only is it challenging mentally, but it's also challenging physically. And I want to make sure that I want you to make sure that you and your parents, because when it comes to football, your parents are very heavily involved. So it's important that the parents let the child be a child. You can push your child. If your child is wanting to do it and you're finding every means to do it, then there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But if the child is just, you know, that's just not his cup of tea or her cup of tea, then, ladies and gentlemen, don't push them. Okay? I mean, that's for them to decide. Okay? Now, when we're talking about coaches' evaluations, right? There's some things that as coaches that we do. I mean, it's kind of like a job interview. First of all, if you are a new coach, or if you're a new player to the team, or if you are coming from elementary to junior high, first impressions. If you're going from junior high to high school, which you are a freshman. These are the things that we as coaches look at. It's called the coaches' performance evaluation, for not only for you, for the parent, but also for the student, but also for the parent. student athlete and the parent, okay? So, personality. How is his appearance? 1 through 5. One being poor, 5 being excellent. What's his appearance look like? His attitude towards players. Attitude towards his parents. His promptness. Dependability and his enthusiasm. You know, just a short 1 through 5. What do you think? When the coach is looking at a student athlete. The next category is sport. Knows the sport. Organize and prepares for practice. Organize and prepared for games. Shows proper leadership on and off the field. Okay. Communication. Communicates with the players, communicates with parents, and also communicates with other volunteers. Would you return to this coach or the team? What would you recommend from this coach? And so when you ladies and gentlemen are getting your sons ready for that next level, and the next level is trying to be who you say that they want to be, you have to make sure and understand that these are the questions that are coming from your coaches. This is what your coaches are going to say. Most of the time, sometimes this is what your coach is going to do. And if you don't get a good evaluation from your coach, then really there's nobody to blame but yourself. Because, you know, listen, this is about you. It's not about anybody else. It's about you, okay? What else I want to talk about? I want to talk about bad habits. Let me give you a scenario. Rainey has already wanted to join the middle school football team, but his friends had talked him into it. Rainey had not done any athletics for a very long time. Randy's daily activity was to come home, grab a bag of chips, drink some pops, and watch TV. The closest thing to exercise that Randy experienced was playing video games. The first day of practice was a nightmare. Running, stretching, hitting, and lifting weights, Randy thought he was going to die. If his friends would have really encouraged him, he would have quit the team. Every day of practice was horrible, but Randy gradually began to enjoy it and being part of the team. Randy knew in his mind that he wanted to be a good football player, but every day his body seemed to rebel. Every day he was tempted to skip practice or go home and watch TV and play video games. Randy soon realized that he was going to have to make himself go to practice every day. His friends and his coaches really encouraged him. Randy would have never have made it throughout without the support. By the end of the summer, Randy had turned 20 pounds of fat into 20 pounds of muscle and was starting on the football team. During the off-season, Randy realized that he could not let up. Even though he wanted a snack and play video games, he made himself run and do push-ups and catch the ball every day. When the season rolled around, he was better in shape than last year and really helped the team. Over the next 2 years, Randy continued to improve, and by his junior year in high school, he was ready to be a star on the team. Looking back over his life, Randy realized how much his life changed when he agreed to be part of the football team. Randy had made his conscious decision to replace old habits and live in a better life. It did not just happen overnight. It took a lot of hard work. Randy learned a very important lesson in football that applies to life. His grades got better. His relationship with his parents got better. His relationship with other people got better. Overcoming struggles in all these areas only helped Randy to grow more and more. Whenever Randy had to make an important decision, he was ready for an internal struggle that he was to follow, and he knew that he could win it. What about you? What old habits do you struggle with? How many of you rather play video games or do something else? What was it when you first joined an athletic team? Did you experience any troubles or difficulties along the way? Do you have any old habits that you need to overcome? Who supports you? Your friends, coaches support? When you try hard, you will succeed. The reason why I wanted to bring that one up was because it's in the lines of breaking bad habits. Now, we have all got all types of bad habits, but the habits that we tend to grow to and lean towards are things that normally would hinder us, especially when you're trying to do sports. So we're going to definitely get into the nitty of the gritty of this real quick, okay? We're going to talk about strength and conditioning, all right? It's about explosive exercise and training, okay? So this is the most important thing that we could talk about, and I'm going to talk about it from all levels, from, you know, an adult level, elementary level all the way to high school level, teenager level, because there are things that can be done to improve. And, you know, some people's got high average tweak muscles, some people have low, but you can always develop those things. And then when it comes to ability, ladies and gentlemen, let me stress this to you the most. Your child can be the most awkward child, non-athletic child, but as he learns the system, as he feels comfortable in the system, and he starts to learn the plays, his confidence will grow. It's only when he lacks the confidence of the play or the lack of the confidence of his teammates that he feels like he cannot succeed, and he will continue to feel that way as he goes on, because, I mean, when kids are in school, they're constantly talking about stuff like that. And so if the team is not behind the athlete, the student athlete, he'll definitely have problems. He or she will definitely have problems, okay? So this is what I want some core things that I want to talk about. Resistance exercise, which categorizes the maximal and the near maximal rate of force developed or by high acceleration using rather than an explosive exercise that affects the enhancement of the physical performance. Number two, explosive exercise may be necessary for optimal physical condition in some sports, particularly in those in high acceleration. Number three, in keeping with the principle of specificity of training, explosive training are used to stimulate movement, velocity, and acceleration patterns of many types of sports movements. Explosive training and exercise should be thought of by experiencing and the knowledgeable of the instructor. When properly taught and supervised, explosive exercise do not improve excess and risk of injury. The reduction of the athletic injury results associated in participation in sports involving high rated force of development and high acceleration probably requires some training of exercise involving the high rate of force developed of high acceleration. And these, there's some things that go with it. Number one is the strength. Shortening cycle means to categorize by rapid deceleration of mass following the amount of immediately by the rapid acceleration of the mass in the opposite direction is essential to the performance of the most competitive sports, particularly in those involving running, jumping, and rapid change of direction. A plyometric exercise program which trains the muscles, connective tissues, and nervous system to effectively carry the stretch short cycle and improve the performance in the most competitive sports. A plyometric training program for an athlete should be involved in sport-specific exercises. Carefully applying plyometric exercise programs are no more harmful than the other forms of sports training and competition that may be necessary to adapt to a vigorous, explosive training. Only athletes who have already achieved high levels of strength through standard resistant training should engage in plyometric drills. Deep jumping should only be used by a small percent of athletes encouraging in the plyometric training. As a rule, athletes weighing over 220 pounds should not do deep jumps from platforms higher than 18 inches. Plyometric drills affecting a particular muscle or joint complex should not be performed on a consistent day. Plyometric drills should not be performed when an athlete is fatigued. Time for complete recovery should be allowed between the plyometric exercise sets. Footwear and landing surfaces should be plyometrically drilled, must be good shock absorbing quality. Although the sets of the warm-ups exercise should be performed before beginning plyometric training session, less determining drills should be majored prior to attempting to do a complex or intense drill. So one of the training methods is this. It's this first one is the primary, a sound running mechanic training. Okay, so you need to, a lot of people and children do not know how to run correctly. If you are a football coach, you should be, at all levels, you should be teaching your student athletes how to run correctly. I mean, I've seen it, and that is one of the things that we need to do starting at the youngest level is have a sound running mechanic training. Secondly, has resistive and assistive training, which would help them in short sprints where you use bands or you use parachutes or pooling systems, assistant systems like, once again, using a fence, using bands as well to assist in the training. And thirdly is the trilary, which is fitness, power, plyometrics, agility, speed, endurance training. Okay, and so these things, these three encompasses the whole idea of getting your body to react in the proper manner in football. Now, some people might say, well, all this stuff's not really necessarily when you're young. That when you're younger, it is more so to use these drills because what you're doing is you're teaching your muscles to be more reactive. And so now you have your athlete. You have the one who can run the ball and run and make all kinds of touchdowns and make all these kinds of moves and all these things. The reason why some people are just born with that, and then you have to also train your muscles to do so. Now, you have to keep in mind these specific tasks, and the goal for these practices. You have to use velocity. You have to use power output. You have to use intensity. You have to have frequency of required effort. You have duration effect. You have a relentless period, a relief period, and a type of movement pattern and a metabolism system engagement. Now, when we're talking about these things, this all encompasses encompasses and reflects speed and power. It all encompasses it up together. And so if you got any questions of what I'm referring to, I can give you a copy of what I'm looking at. Okay? So and then they say here, understanding the basic concepts, elastic training, impulse training, power, and reactive ability. Okay? Elasticity strength is the ability of the muscle and the connective tissues to rapidly exert force against the surface in order to produce maximum power in a lateral, vertical, lateral, or combination movement. An impulse is the product of force and time. Power, the product of force and velocity. The reactive ability, the characteristic of speed strength that can be improved with explosive training. Now, when you are doing some of these things, you've got to always keep in mind what exercises work for you. And I'm not going to go over exercises that you can do, or what we call calisthenics. I'm not going to go over that portion because most of these things, if you are already in a program, then sometimes it just depends on what kind of program you're getting in. I mean, to be honest with you, for example, if you have a coach who loves I formation, I right, I left, two tight ends, or a wing system, your speed does not have to be super fast. All you need is the ability, and we're talking about offensive linemen, we're talking about wing backs, we're talking about quarterbacks, we're talking about fullbacks, we're talking about tight ends. All he is wanting is power and the ability to have quickness. Now, if you have breakout speed, that's great. But in these formations, they are not required to have super speed, but they are required to have power. They also are required to have durability, explosiveness, and reactiveness. And so these things are what you need. Now, if you run a spread offense, we're talking about durability. We're talking about quickness. We're talking about acceleration, velocity, speed. We're talking about all this stuff because it is a different ball game, different speed. And so you need to know what type of body that you need in order to fit into the program, because you could be in Little League, you could be running a wing formation, and the wing formation is fairly easy to run. You go to middle school and they're running spread. You go to high school, then they shrunk it down and they're going to power high. So you need to know where you fit and what system you're going to be in. And once again, as you're practicing and going through it, it'll all come together once your motor skills come together. Let's go to the health. Let's go to health, okay? Okay, so now these are some things that I'm talking about. Winter time. I'm talking about off. This is off the football field. We're in a down season of football field, folks. So from November or December all the way up to August. Okay. Now some people can't afford breakfast. Some people can't afford lunch. And some people can't afford snacks. But if you are able to get these things, if you're able to, and your school provides it, or you have a summer job, or you know someone who can provide you with food, here are some things that you can have for breakfast. High fiber and cereal, that'll keep you going. You can have oatmeal. You have four whole eggs, or four whites, or one yolk. You can have them poached. You can also have whole wheat bread or toast. You could have some orange juice, fibrous pulp. You can have six white egg omelet. You could have fat-free or 1% milk, and you can also have some green tea. All right. For lunch or dinner, we're going to try to do some skinless chicken breast, some salmon or some fish or some catfish, not fried. You want to have some filet mignon. I mean, who could afford filet mignon? You can have some a steak, a beef steak. You can have a lean beef ribeye, ultra-low Belgian blue beef. You can also have turkey breast. You can have turkey. Whole wheat pastas. You can have grilled chicken salads. You can have turkey sandwiches. You can also have grilled lime chicken, brown rice, vegetables, tofu, tofu burgers, soy burgers, peanut butter and jelly on a wheat bread, okay? And these are some good snacks you could have. We can have fruit. You can have apple, oranges, grapes, plums, pears, peaches, cherries, blueberries. You can have some low-fat yogurt, or you can have just regular yogurt. You can have some wheat crackers or just some crackers. You can have some popcorn. You can also eat string cheese. You can have some melons or berries. You can have animal crackers or graham crackers, protein bars, protein shakes. Listen, avoid sodas. Replace with water, okay? Water. You can drink Gatorade, but you have to drink water, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, my bodies are made up of 94% of water. So if you sweat, which your sweat is an automatic air condition for your body, and you don't put water into your air conditioner, what's going to happen? It's going to break down, and then you're going to have to take it to the mechanic to fix the air conditioner, right? But same thing with your body. If you're not getting enough water in and you're exerting a lot of water and all the water that's supposed to be in your body for your body to function and it's drawing, tapping into that water, it's not replacing it with water, listen, your body's going to break down. That's including sodas, and that's including Gatorade and Powerade and all that stuff. And I'm not saying it's not bad to drink. What I'm simply saying is you want to replenish your body with a natural element, because the Gatorades, the sodas, it has sugars, it has all these dyes in it, all these different type of ingredients in it that makes it unhealthy. You can also have dry nuts or freeze-dried nuts. You can also have pretzels, and you can also have non-salt pretzels. That's just a quick little health thing. And there's a difference between being in shape and being football shape. And as an athlete, we all know this as coaches. I mean, we want our athletes to be active. So we wanted them to run track, and we want them to play basketball, we'll play football and stuff like this. But listen to what I say. You have to be in football shape, because football exerts more energy than most sports. Okay? So first thing you want to think about is think about balance. The second thing you want to do is think about the practice of control in your movements. The third thing you want to talk about is don't forget to pull your weight. Okay. Fourth thing is, kids shouldn't lift too much. Fifth is exercise the abdominal muscle. Number six is good technique is important into running. Seven is the flexibility. Number eight is weight training to increase muscle tone and to add muscle mass. Number nine, don't buy the fat myth. Number 10, like I said, nutrition is a big part of this equation, okay? So let's talk about this. Think balance. Number one, exercise all parts of your body. And if you work the front, work the back. This is the best way to reduce injuries. For example, if you are doing quadricep, working your quadricep muscle or your quads, then remember to do your hamstrings. in weight training, the means of doing hamstring exercises that will improve and involve about at least 60% of the weight that you'll be using in your quad exercise, okay? Number two, practice controlled movement. Don't just jerk the weight around. Rise and lower it in a smooth, controlled manner. Try to isolate only the muscles that you want to build. Take a couple of seconds to lift and 3-4 seconds to lower. This negative resistance is lowering the weight is key to strength training. And try not to make faces. Keep it smooth and relaxed. Number three, don't forget to pull your weight. In addition, pulling weight, as an example, if you're bench pressing or do military press, do pull weight work as well. Number four, kids shouldn't lift too much. It's okay to start off between 9 and 10 and 12, but the amount of weight they should lift is no more than a child's weight. So if your child is wanting to do weight, they're saying, hey, listen, you can lift at 9 and 10, but nothing above the weight. So if they weigh 95 pounds, then, hey, let them lift, you know, 25-pound dumbbells or 25 pounds. Matter of fact, let them pump the bar if you want to bench press. Number five, exercise the abdominal muscles. Overload the building strength in the midsection. This means is using more than just your own weight. If you are doing tummy crunches, try placing them weights on your chest. Six, good technique. And we've talked about that before. You always want anything that you're doing, you want to have a good technique. Good technique. This is what I stress the most. I stress flexibility the most. Listen, if you want to be a good athlete, you have to be able to stretch. It will help you from getting injured. It will help you from getting injured. Because sometimes you get tackled in a weird, funky way, and you come down, your bodies have to be able to be elastic enough, stretch enough, move or contort enough in order for your bodies and your muscles and your ligaments and all that stuff can react to it. So when your children are stretching, tell them they need to be able to stretch. Don't play around when they're stretching. Stretching is super important. I would say the number one thing before anything, stretching is number one. Okay? And then once again, you want to add. If you're wanting to bulk up, of course you use heavy weight, less reps. So you want to blow up your chest, bench press 200 pounds on the bench press. Hey, do 5 reps, do 3 reps. Okay. Don't worry that if you lift weights and then stop, your muscles will turn into fat. Muscle never does not turn into fat any more than fat turns into muscle. All right? And then the final one is nutrition. Listen, you have to somehow, some way, you have to eat. And if, even if it's junk food, it's frowned upon. But as myself, you know, being younger, you know, we didn't have food. So I had to get it where I could get it, all right? I had to get it where I can get it. And I was able to go to practice and everything. So I want to talk about, I started talking about weightlifting when I get back to that. But I also want to talk about your commitment to the football team because – that is such a it is such a important tool to the whole equation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you plan because your friends want you to play, that's fine. If you're playing because you're daddy wants you to play. That's fine. If you're playing because you want to just get out the house, that's fine. But you have to know where your commitment is. Are you going to be committed enough? And I mean, I'll be coaching for 15 years, 16 years. And listen, man, I mean, that to me, that's the most important thing to me. Is the child committed? I feel that I can coach any child. So the question is, you know, is the child coachable? I mean, when you have a coaching staff, is it a little easy to be able to move around and talk to all the head coach? But if you're coaching by yourself, it's very difficult. So, you know, we can't necessarily waste our time with certain things, but we have to still give energy. So check this out, right? From a scale to you know, 10 to 110%, how much percent of this is going to affect the team and who you are? So, for example, let's start from 110% in reality, okay? We're talking about 110%. So the commitment level, right, 110%, attends all practice, there early, stays late, attends all workouts, attends all meetings, attends all fundraisers, involved in extra team needs, volunteers, last-minute needs, extra team building, right? That's 110%. I mean, that's gone above and beyond. I have so many kids like that. Oh, man, and they just are so vibrant, okay? In reality, the playing time for this person, for this child, the student athlete, the possibility is a two-way starter or Ironman. Starting role, very likely. Plays on most or, if any, special teams. Takes on leadership roles and possesses the coaching future. Okay? Bottom line, will play in all the games. All right, let's go down to 100%. At 100%, the student athlete attends all practices, attends all workouts, attends all meetings, attends most fundraisers, and involves in every. In reality, this 100% player will possibly be an Ironman. Starting role, quite likely. Plays on the same some special teams. Has some leadership role. And bottom line, this person will play in games. Let's look at 90%. Attends all practices. Attend most workouts. Attends all meetings, attend most fundraisers, and involve most extra team needs. Starting role likely, may play some special teams, should get some playing time. Let's look at 80%. Attends all practices, attends all workouts, attends most meetings, attends some fundraisers, involved in some extra team needs. A possible starting role, a possible team. A special team player and likely to get some playing time. Let's look at 70%. Attends most practices, attends some workouts, attends most meetings, attends some fundraisers, involved in extra team needs. Not likely to be a starter, possibly a second teamer, possibly special teams, may not get any or much playing time. Let's look at 60%. Attends two-thirds of the practice, attends some workouts, attends two-thirds of the meeting, involved in fundraisers extra whenever possible. Let's look at actual playing time in reality. Possibly a second teamer, likely to be a third stringer, possibly a second team special teamer, may not play in games and may ask to leave the team if not improving. 50% attend some practices, attends most meetings. In reality, not likely to stay on the team, likely to be suspended or asked to leave the team, or will not play in any games. This is 50%. My question is to you, anything below 50%, you shouldn't even be out there. So what I want you to do is, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this, and you are a football player, you need to ask yourself these questions, okay? Because the next thing that I want to get into, we'll get back to this conditioning thing. Conditioning is a big part in it, but I want to get into the nitty gritty of what I like to talk about, okay? And that is mental toughness. We call that intestinal fortitude. I know it's a big word, but that intestinal fortitude, that gut, when we ask you, hey, dig a little deeper. If we ask you, as a coach, if we're asking you to dig a little deeper, ladies and gentlemen, it is not about your physical play. It is the mentalness. It is the mental structure. Do you have that mental capacity to continue to go on? We're going to have to start thinking about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to start keeping this real. Okay. So, mental toughness football training. Uh-huh. Dealing with adversity. Now, this is important. Like, listen very carefully. Adversity is happening in lives and in sports. Wherever, whenever, you need to do your best to deal with it. One method is to be prepared for it. Appreciate it. You should never be surprised by adversity because we all have it and know it. Stuff happens. So deal with it. Easily said, but how do we deal with it? Being part of a true team helps. A real team will realize that they and the individuals on the team cannot be perfect. However, we will work together to support each other when we are down and cheer each other up when we can. It is very important, okay? And when we in football terms use the word adversity, we usually are talking about negative news clippings or some negative publicity or negative talk by other parents or by other schools. You're not winning a lot. You have a non-winning season for several years. And we know that if you're at the bottom, you can't. There's a time when the bottom, you rise to the top. There's that class, whether it's a freshman class or a sophomore class or a senior class, that turns the program around because at that point they deal with adversity. They deal with it and say, you know what? We may have been the laughing stock of football for the last 30 years, but you know what? This year we're going to open some eyes. They may not win all the games. They may win above 500. But the point is this. They, as a team, have done deal with adversity. Not only the coaching staff, but the players themselves. And the reality is the fan base. See, the fan base has a funny way of manipulating the playing system of the team. Now, when the fan base and the parents, which are in the part of the fan base, criticizes the coaching and the staff, it has a huge reflection on the kids and the way they think about their coaches. So I would really advise you parents to just, if you're going to make comments, please make them away from the student athlete because it doesn't do the program any better or any good to say, Junior, you need to go out there and do your best. And you got to do what you got to do because you know so-and-so is not going to do it. That's not teamwork. You are teaching your child to be an individual. If you want to do that, please send your child to track and field. Please send your child to baseball. Please send your child to swimming or something like that because that's not football, okay? We're going to also look at this part, dealing with your coaches. It is the coach's job to teach you the skills, technique, and the strategy of the game. We are also responsible to motivate you in the game, but also in life. In the game, most coaches will be upset with you when you make a mistake. This mistake is usually a mental error where you forgot your assignment or did not consistently work as hard as you should. It could also be due to the lack of effort. Either way, coaches will be upset with you, as you should be with yourself, as your teammates may be, and they will let you know it. This should motivate you to never repeat this mistake. However, you may, and the coaches will be there to chew you out as they need to be. Coaches will not and should not yell at you if you are trying your best and simply can't make the play. We are, and we can't be, completely perfect. If we are to improve our players, improve our players who are trying their best, you are possibly harder on yourself. So that is when the coach will try to lift you up, as we know you are capable of getting the job done. And when you achieve, you also will, and the joy comes from being the first to give you a hug or a high five, and the louding of the cheers for you, because we know how hard you work and how much you have to put in to do this and do what you do. If a coach was to always take it easy on you or to only tell you how good you are in what you do, they will never be doing their job, and thus they will be failing you. We all need tough love in order to become our best. Once you realize this, you will realize that the coach is only mad at you because he knows that you could do better. The coaches will never make it personal that it is why that he is upset at you and not with you. It's only when we stop yelling at you that we have given up on you. In that piece, you as a player have to understand that. I mean, if we go over repetitions, I mean, think about the work that the coach put in prior to the game. Think about the work you put in prior to the game. Think about all the mental and the physical reps that you got in practice before the game. Think about the mental reps that you add in your when you're looking at your playbook. So this is where all this, you know, where do you scale? Are you at the top tier of an athlete? Are you at the bottom tier? And I'm not talking about ability. I'm just talking about your mental capacity. How is your character? You see, I would take a whole bunch of people who had no ability at all, but worked hard, and we'd never win a game. I could take that. Now, I know the coaches would be, I would know the parents would be upset, and I know some of the children would be discouraged, but you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as a coach, you are there to mold them and grow them. That is what coaches do. And I'm not going to speak about coaching now. I'm not going to speak about coaching because that's totally different. But we are there to develop the athlete, the student athlete. That is all we're there for, is to develop them. To make them a star, it could be done. But they have to be at that 110%. I mean, even if they're at that 90%, we can still work with them. But anything below 90%, that's a lack of effort. There's just no room for that. Now, when we know that the student athlete is a regular 10%, I mean 110%, and then he comes to practice and he's given lack of effort, we know it's totally something to do with the family, or school related, or they're sick. That's totally different. But if the student athlete it continues to be the way that they are, then man, and then ain't nothing the coach can really do but talk to the parent. And then the parents go and talk to their child and all that stuff. Well, once again, it is our job to develop the players, the student athletes. Now, how is your mental toughness, ladies and student athlete, when it dealing with other players? No one is perfect in life or in playing on the field. And the last thing we need is teammates second to each other. We can't complain about each other, and we can't do that at all. If someone else could have done it better, then they should have been out there doing it. Or maybe they are just a know-it-all who can't do anything at all. Stick with the golden rule. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say it at all. Criticism should come from coaches only. That's their job. That is why there are such difficult love-hate relationships between players and coaches. By this, I mean not true hate, but the players do hate it when the coaches get on them and for screwing up or pushing them so hard. But they should know this for their best. However, when their teammates get on them, it can backfire. It can cause and open up and hold up the team, and it results in a clash. And when we all have small groups forming who receive each other as losers or a loser to the team, the bond is broken. Stay together. Only together can we reach our goals. For the team is together, everyone achieves more. This is what I love right here, enjoying the game. The question that you should ask yourself, whatever you're getting into, do you love it? Do you love football? I will ask you this over and over again. Do you love it? You should pay to play this game because you enjoy it, at least like it. There are so many great aspects of playing football: the personal challenge, the team camaraderie, the ups and downs of the game, the physical fitness, and so on and so forth. Football has been linked to the games of chess, where we are all different pieces with different abilities. It involves the most players on the team and most strategy and most preparation. It also has at least a game of playing. It has the shortest games and the fewest games in the season. Football is a game of mistakes where the victor is usually the team that executes the best. To be this, you have to be completely committed and focused. You cannot do this if you are unhappy being here or simply going through the motions. The best way to play and the best way to get something out of the game and the experience is to always be ready to answer what you hold dear inside of you. Yes, I love football. I mean, listen, if you want to play football, basketball, whatever, at least like it. At least like it. If you play for 4 years and you can care less to go play college football, then that's true. That's fine. But if you don't love the game, I get to that another time. Handling your nerves. This is a good one, too. Too many people get handicapped because they can't deal with the pregame nerves. This results in the classic case of choke. You need to understand that being nervous is normal. What is coming up is a great challenge. The biologically, when we are challenged we are programmed to fight or flee. This means we need to fight and do the best that we can, or we need to flee by quitting and refusing to put up yourself at risk. When you are nervous, you need to realize this is a good thing. You are nervous because you want to do your best. That's nature. We all feel and have felt that way. Tap into it and take this nervous energy and use it. Nerves provide energy that allows players to play up to their potential. These nervous energy rising up in you lets you know that you are about to light the fuse, and that explosion in you in that game mode where you need to leave everything on the field. You see what I'm saying? No? Oh, don't worry about it. We all get nervous. All right? We all get nervous. How to have productive practices. Practice, this is the student, this is for the student athlete, y'all. We pay attention to this. Practices may be also seen necessarily as an evil, at least some of us think. If you cannot enjoy practice compared to the experience and the challenging of the game, we understand. We need to practice in order to play to our utmost potential. There are many sayings and coaches who know that we play like we practice, and we practice like champions. We cannot play like champions if we practice like morons or mediocre. You will go into the game flat and unprepared for the challenge of the game speed and the collisions. We need to work on execution, our assignments, our responsibilities, our strategic timing, our competing against each other of playing. We need to work on the transitions of the game. And if one player is not aware of the punt team is on and we could get a kick block, that's why we're practicing every situation so we will be able to catch you with your pants down on game day. To ensure that good practices, make sure you can do the following. Number one, be on time. Number two, have all the gear on and in prepared proper order. Number three, come with enthusiasm. A contagious can be a disease. Five, know your role. Are you an excellent team leader or a warrior? Number six, do what the coaches tell you. Yeah, listen, do what your coaches tell you. Don't do what your daddy tell you from the fence. Don't your cousin. Listen. Do what your coaches tell you to do. Whew, man, if you have a question that requires long exaggeration, wait until the appropriate time. However, do not look stupid because you are afraid to ask. Now is the time to make sure that you know what's going on the field. Often, only dumb questions are the ones you don't ask. Number seven, help out. Bring out, set up the gear, return it properly. Number eight, respect our health. Be kind, courteous to the managers, etc. Let them know that they are appreciated with a simple thank you. Handling the competition. Games can be stressful. If you can't deal with the competition of your best abilities, it can bring your performance down. Understand the nature of competition. We are opponents in order to challenge us and to help us rise to the highest achievement we hope to hope our potential can reach. If we only have mediocre potential, we will never feel the exhilaration of meeting the challenge. We must be the best we can be. And this can only be achieved by playing other games with commitment to being your best. So don't be intimidated or feel dragged out because you are not so good. The better they are, the better it'll make you, win or lose. Remember, respect everyone and fear no one. Be a warrior. Football is very tough and demands sport, physical, emotional, and mental. It can wear you down in all areas. Yes, sometimes you will feel like you want to quit. These doubts are natural. As you are doing, you're required more sacrifice than you have ever had to make. You will feel pain and agony you will never thought you could ever handle, but you must. And when you do, this has an achievement of a warrior status. Warrior never, number one. Give up, warriors never, number one. Give up or quit. Two, abandon the team when they need you the most. Number three, let pain stop them from playing. Four, fear the risk of failure. Five, let down their teammates or their coaches. Warriors always, one, work as hard as they can to be the best that they can be in everything that they have. Two, put the team needs before their own. Three, know that they can play with hurt and that is the difference between being hurt and being injured. Number four, relinquish the opportunity for achievement of the game offers. Number five, respect and respond to their teammates and coaches. Respect for the game. This should go without saying, but we often need it to be said. To enjoy the game and to give the most out of it while being a good player and person. You must always hold the utmost respect for every person involved in the game, such as the list. Your own opponent, the referees, team support, history of the game, fans from both sides, your teammates, your coaches, your parents who allow you to play and make sacrifices for you, your teachers who give you an extension or allows you to miss or leave class early in order to play, the principal or secretaries who support the game. Without the support, we could never have any football team. And listen. Take nothing for granted. Show character through everything that you do and whether or not someone is watching. Because even if or when you don't know it, you are always being watched. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like a copy of that, just let me know and I can send that to you. Those are the things that I like to hear from my student athletes. I like that portion of it. And mental toughness is the hardest thing to instill into players these days because of the environments that we live in now. It's not that necessarily a bad environment, but it is the changing of the time, you know, or the passing of the guard. And let me add this, that football is under attack. Okay, it is not the same loved football that we once. It has become to be watered down just like every sport that is starting to go. But they won't water down hockey. I'm sure they won't. Okay, so listen, this is the contract that I usually give to my student athletes. I'm only going to read a couple of quotes that's on it before I give it out. It says, "It's easy to be ordinary. Only those who dedicate themselves can be outstanding. In order to prevent confusion and our conflict, I feel it is important that everyone understands the level of commitment and expectations the privilege of playing, being a football player entails. It is important that all parties understand that football is not mandatory activity. Being a part of this program is a privilege, and that can be taken away from you at any time. You choose to accept this challenge. You may be choosing not to accept the challenge at any time. You may also choose not to agree with these rules and the guidelines in this contract. However, it is mandatory to sign. Accept and follow the rule outlined in this agreement if you wish to keep the privilege of being a team member. The lessons taught in high school athletics is innumerous. Football will help teach the meaning of such words as commitment, dedication, selflessness, and character. Not all will be strong enough to make the sacrifices. These that do will gain great reward and have a bunch of fun. Before I get back on to the stretching and conditioning on this portion, I want to quickly throw in for those novices who are parents who don't know the referee hand signals. And then I'll be doing my closing. Of course, you have, you know, the touchdown symbol with both hands extended up in the air. Then you have the safety, which is two palms. Your hands are together in the palm, and it looks like a diamond, and it's raised above the head. A first down sign is an arm signaling going straight out. Personal foul is the left fist is balled and the right hand is extended like you're saluting above your head for personal foul. For ball illegally touched, kicked, or batted, the fingertips will be placed on the shoulders, so it looks like an M on the shoulders. Timeout means you put your hands and your palms. The referee's palms will be facing the audience, and it will be crossed above his head. No timeout or time in with the whistle is a full circular motion with his right hand. Delay a game or excessive timeout is folding of the arms. False start or illegal formation or kickoff or safety kick off out of bounds is the forearms rotating over and over in front of his body. Holding, he grasps one wrist and a fist clenched in front of his chest. Illegal use of hands, arms or body, he would grab one wrist and hold, he would grab one wrist, hand out, that means the palm is facing towards the audience, the fans, and it will be facing forward in front of his chest. Penalty refused, incomplete pass, play over, or missed field goal or extra point is hands shifting in horizontal plane. Pass juggled in bounds and caught out of bounds is him with his hands up and down in front of him as for incomplete pass. Illegal forward pass. He would turn his back to the home field and one of his hands will be on his back, in his lower back. Intentional grounding, he would use a parallel arms waving down at a diagonal plane crossing his body in a downward motion. Interference with a forward pass or fair catch, he would place both of his hands extended out with his palms facing the home crowd or home team. Invalid fair catch signal is he has one hand waving above his head. Illegal receiver or eligible member kicking team downfield, he will place his right hand on the top of his cap. Illegal contact, he has an open hand in front of him. It will just be one hand pushed out facing the crowd. Offsides, encroachment, or neutral zone infraction is both of his hands are up on his hip. Illegal motion at snap is a horizontal arch with his right hand across his chest, and his left hand is down the side of his body. Loss of down is both of his hands are behind his head. Interlocking or interception, pushing or helping runner is him pushing his hand in a forward motion and downward motion below his waist. unsportsmanlike conduct is his hands are out vertical. It looks like his palms are facing down. It looks like an airplane. Touching a forward pass or scrimmage kick, he'll turn his body sideways, and he will have a diagonal motion with his hand crossing one another. Illegal cut is he would take his hands and he would strike his above his knee. Illegal crackback, his left or right hand will be out horizontal and it will come to the side of his body. Player disqualified or ejected, he'll be facing sideways with his thumb, going from a downward motion up to an upward motion. Tripping, he will put one of his feet behind his other foot, touching his left heel. We have uncatchable forward pass. He'll have his palm of his right hand held parallel to the ground above his head and moving back and forth. 12 men, offensive huddle, are too many men on the field, both hands on the top of his head. Face mask, he would grab the face mask with one hand. Illegal shift, he would use a horizontal arch with two hands, which he would be pushing forward. Reset the play clock, 25 seconds. He would ball his fist and pump it up and down, going vertically. Reset the 40-second, restart the 40-second clock. He will use both of his fists and a clenched fist going vertical. Roughing the kicker, he will use his left hand. He will use his left hand and a balled fist and his right hand above his head following a swinging of the leg. Roughing the passer, he would use the one wrist strike above his head, followed with the rising arm swing forward. Major face mask, one wrist striking above his head, followed by grabbing of the face mask. Illegal block below the waist. He will have one hand striking the front of his thigh, preceded by a personal foul signal. Chop block, he would use both hands striking both of his thighs, preceded by a personal foul call. Chopping, one hand strike back of the calf, preceded by a personal foul call. And those, ladies and gentlemen, are the official hand signals, in case you did not know. So, now that we do know, we can move on, right? Now that we got the prelims out of the way, had a good show. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. Those who have my number, you can always call me, text me or whatnot, because, I've been coaching for close to going on 17 years, and I love football. I know a lot about football. I'm pretty old school. I'm still, people who know that I'm a Big Ten fan. I love power football. I love lining up with big linemen and a tough running back, tough fullback, tough tight end, and quick receivers. I don't need a speedy quarterback. I just need a person who can run the option, and we'll run option all day, every day. So, tomorrow we will be breaking down the easy part of football, and that is describing positional drills, also just the standard things you need to do before we get to the offense and defense, identifying holes on offense, identifying the players on offense, identifying who is who and what they do. All right. So the next time I hear you, next time I see you, you should be sounding off. I'm George Beverly. You have a good day.